scripture reading is from Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the first Jew and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. As the sunshine is trying to come through the windows here, we're all here because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to sup together to be with our God, knowing that one day soon our Savior will come for his people. And we know that we need to be ready. So I just pray today that we will be that ones that need it. And yes, the cross going on before us. Close your eyes this morning. Close your eyes. And picture the cross. Have the cross there in your mind. And what do you see? What are your thoughts, your feelings, as you picture Christ on the cross? How do you identify with him? Are you overwhelmed by the saving power that runs from the cross? We pray that you are. And it becomes clear in the book of Romans that the good news of the gospel, the saving message of the crucified Lord, that alone is mankind's only hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. That transformation of a helpless sinner into a loving son or daughter of God. And is accomplished by the divine power. And that is the only way. And that was how it was with Paul. Talk a little bit about Paul this morning. An experience from a life of sin to a consecrated life to the service of God. And we pray that that's each one of our desires too. To go from being a sinner to being in the service of God. So we see that. To be able to affirm the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we can see that in Romans 1:16 in Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 about this. Chapter 1 of Romans, we're also able to see the messenger and his message and its recipients. And so we're going to look at that and look at the power that Paul had to be able to do what he did for God. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that as we look at Romans and we look at the life of Paul a little bit, but see the transforming power in his life, that he was able to be able to use that power for the glory of God, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go about on these many missions in preaching the gospel to the Greek and to the barbarians, to the Jew. And so we just pray that as we listen to the words and look at them, that we will be able to see Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer, knowing that from the power that comes from him that we may have the righteousness of God in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, and I said Romans chapter 1. We'll be staying mostly in that, so maybe if you would turn to that now. Romans chapter 1. And yes, the messenger is the Apostle Paul. His greetings in Romans 1 through 8 shows his role as that of a special herald called by God to proclaim peace and salvation. In some ways, the apostle fills the role of a courier who, when the Jews returned from Babylon exile, preceded them on their trip back to Zion from Babylon. The inhabitants of Jerusalem are standing on the walls in the tower awaiting his return of the exiles. And then all of a sudden, they see the messenger on the top of the hill. And with a loud voice, the messenger proclaims the victory of Yahweh over the whole world. Yahweh is now returning to Zion to rule. The moment he gives this announcement, the new age begins. He does not declare that God's reign will be coming soon, but as soon as it is proclaimed, it comes into effect. Salvation arrives with the word of proclamation. It is seen as having come to pass. So we see that that age has come there. An important thing to remember that it is the Lord who puts his words on the lips of his servant and puts the words on the lips of us today if we are truly to be his messengers. He's really the one that speaks through Paul and speaks through us. And his word is not just breath and sound. It's the effective power that all of us may have today, just as Paul had. We may feel that we're not worthy of it or do it, but if we give our hearts to God and we truly ask for this thing, for this power, we may have it. So I pray that all of us will do that. Even to where the Lord placed it in his mouth, and that power can even create things, can shape history, and can rule the world. And this is what it did with Paul, and that was how God used Paul. But nothing less than the Lord's authorized messenger as we can be today. And so we just pray that we are his messenger. Paul was able to see himself divinely summoned to give a message of retaliation, of restoration, not only of the Jewish nation, but also to the entire human race at that time, living in a state of sin and separation from God. And that state of sin and separation is so prevalent today, even more so than it was then. We're almost at a point of the time of Noah. And we know that time cannot go on much longer. We need to be ready. But Paul goes on beyond the customary formula as he presents impressive of his life portrait. And he gives it to them, and we're not going to look at all of that, though. But we see Paul as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, divinely chosen to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. To be able to speak for God, one has to have power. That is found only in the righteousness of God. And for us to have that righteousness of God, it can be ours. So we pray that, and if you would look at Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. Galatians 1, verse 14. It profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So we see there, here Paul boasts that he advanced in Judaism beyond many of his own age among my people, and was zealous I for the tradition of my fathers. Paul was devoted to the law to the point where he sought to scorch the earth of the church. He wanted to get rid of the Christian church at that time. And he did everything in his power to be able to do that. But then he met the Lord. He met the risen Lord, and all things changed in his life then. And at that keen observance, he was able to learn God's favor, and that he was to be his messenger and to accept what Christ was giving to him lovingly. And so he was to glorify God in the world and in the church. And do we have that glory today? We can have that glory of the Lord ourselves that Paul had if we truly live the life that God wants us to have, to be Christ-like in all of our dealings, to love one another without remorse and without anything there. And we know that that's hard, that to have that unconditional love, especially to our enemies. But it can be done. Paul was to become a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ, as well as we can be today. But that's a good thing, to be a slave. And as we think of a slave today, it's a person who has lost all control of himself, one totally dominated, and most likely abused by someone else. In using the term a slave, Paul was acknowledging his dependence and obligation towards his master. It was a great honor for him to do this, to be a slave to Jesus Christ. So we see that. The Old Testament applies the term slave of God to some outstanding person, such as a prophet, a hero, or even a nation. Paul probably understood himself to be the servant of the Lord as well as we can today. He belongs totally to Christ. And when he writes to the Romans and proposes to visit them, he does not act as fully authorized by, he acts fully authorized by the Lord. Paul thinks of himself as one who has received a commission, and he was able to see that God appointed him to perform that mission to the Romans, and so that he could be there and see them and to remain with them. But we know that his life there, he finally lost his life there. You know, so we saw that. But he was appointed to be the servant to go to the Romans to give that with his strong character that he had. But it was not surprising that he would meet much opposition, just as we do today. We meet much opposition when we go out to do the work for Christ. Paul's apostleship was called into question. To be a Christian apostle, a man must have a close association with the Lord during his earthly life and ministry. He must have witnessed the resurrection. And Paul did not meet any of these requirements. But he had persecuted the Christian community in such a way that he was responsible for many deaths. And in Galatians 1:1, Paul defends his apostleship. Not from men, nor through men. It is through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. New King James Version. The Lord himself endorsed Paul's apostleship, as we can see as we read the life of Paul. Paul believed that he had received an assignment to perform a special task, and he went about doing it very bravely and sincerely. Separated him to the gospel of God, Romans 1:1, the New King James Version. And he was also to say, this one thing I do. Paul was able to recognize that God had set him aside for the gospel. And he was deeply convinced that God had ordained him as a preacher from his mother's womb. And you read that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Also, we know that Paul had a dark side of his past life. He had rejoiced in the brutal deaths of the Christians, the followers of the way, and before he became one himself. More than probably, those dark experiences helped him in his life. He equipped him for his future mission. He became the target of such persecutions himself. When all of these was, when he was conscious of all of these, it was of the enabling power of the Spirit of God that gave him this, and the grace of God, and that grace that we can have today ourselves if we are willing to follow Jesus all the way. We can have that same conscious feeling to be able to be a worker for Christ in all of our doings. And having grace, in the favorite words that he used with grace, he was able to see the Lord giving him all the tools that he had to be able to work for Christ and do what he did. Necessary to reach others with the saving message of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:7. You can see that in there. And what was that message? Paul's message of salvation originates with God, as well as our message of salvation today of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to focus upon the Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord. We pray that we are doing that. That's that same message today that we had, that Paul had back then, and the apostles had too. The one from the Old Testament had pointed 2 centuries ago. Because if we look at the Old Testament and look at all of the things that pertain to Christ, and everyone was fulfilled to the letter, and do that. And in Genesis 3:15, often quoted, we see that God promised that the Savior would come forth from her seed and that would destroy the works of the devil. And we see that in the Old Testament, prophets promised his coming. And Paul referred to them in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Romans. History verifies what the prophets foretold. Jesus was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was also declared to be the Son of God, the central person of Paul's message that he had. Not a mere man, he was more than a human being. The apostle declares him as the Son of God. For a long time, period of time, Christians have stretched their minds to see that one could grapple with the doctrine that Jesus was born, both of the seed of David and a Son of God at the same time. And that's still going on today. People cannot see that. They cannot see Jesus as God himself. But if we continue to read the Bible as it reads, and we take the truth, we can know that he is both. That he is the Son of Man and the Son of God at the same time. One time the church fathers have provided many tellings of that on the meanings of the incarnation, the coming of Jesus in human flesh. And we Seventh-day Adventists maintain that in Jesus, divinity and humanity mysteriously blended together. And it will be that way forever, that he will have that humanity forever. Ellen White states in Sons of Daughters, page 22, "This is a mystery of godliness, that Christ should take human nature and by a life of humiliation elevate man in a scale of moral worth with God, that he should carry his adopted nature to the throne of God and thus present his children to the Father, to have conferred upon them an honor exceeding that conferred upon the angels. This is a marvel of the heavenly universe, the mystery into which angels desire to look. This is love that melts the sinner's heart." And we pray that that does as we look at the cross and we see Jesus Christ dying for each one of us, that it can change our hearts, can soften our hearts. And she also states that Jesus was the commander of heaven, one equal with God, and yet he condescended to lay aside his kingly crown, his royal robe, and clothed his divinity with humanity. He was able to bear the characteristics of the human family and a Jewish race. Signs of the Times, July 30th, 1896. Jesus was rightly declared to be the Son of God, and by his resurrection, he demonstrated his divine, that he was divine. The Desire of Ages, page 785. You can read about the description that Ellen White gives of the resurrection. And so we pray that sometime that you do look at that if you have that book. And then in Romans 1, verses 7 through 12, if you look at there and see it about Paul's desire to be there in Rome and to go there, Paul records a remarkable warmth towards the Roman believers, even though they were virtually strangers to them. He had not been there yet to them. But he focuses attention on those things that they had in common, just as it was called by heaven. To be any apostle of Jesus Christ, so the Roman believers were summoned to be saints, just as we are called to be saints ourselves today. The Romans were that Roman, as we look at the Romans and hear of the Romans and what they did, the Roman Empire did, but these people to be saints, to be there. Paul greets them, that wishing them grace and peace. And we can read it throughout the Bible itself to have that grace and peace that our Lord Jesus can bring to each and every one of us. Do that. And in this passage in Romans 1, we discover three principles that assure such a personal relationship that we can have. One, the words of praise, the intercessory prayer that each one of us can have, an expression of spiritual concern. We pray that we do that. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, and we should not be ashamed of the gospel ourselves. It is the power of God, and we all can have that power, for we know that we have no power of ourselves, to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in each one of us. So we do need that power, but we can only have it by asking. It will not just be given to us. We have to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to have that. So we see that, to be that there. But from its inception, the message of the cross has met resistance, and it will continue to the end. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. They could not accept the idea that the Lord would even choose someone who had been crucified. They found justification for their views in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. He that is hanged is accursed of God. To the Greeks, the message was such an absolute foolishness. The idea of a God entering human flesh to them revolted them. In the New Testament, the power in the Greek is to designate any man, any manifestation of divine omnipotence or mighty work of God. To have that mighty work of God in each one of us should be our desire to help and to be like Jesus. Paul affirmed that the gospel is indeed the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To have that true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that faith that we needed, because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. The believer not only knows that God is righteous, but he takes it into his life, the transforming power of the Lord, so that we can have God's righteousness in each one of us. But this experience only happens by faith. We pray that our faith is growing daily so that we can have this assurance that we are children of the living God and that we can work for him. The just shall live by faith. A person can find a right relationship with God only by faith. There's no other way except by faith. Faith, from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. As long as Christ lives in the heart of the believer, he has the power to accept the work of God. And so I just pray that we have that belief and that we do accept the work of God. To be workers for Christ should be one of our greatest joys. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. Martin Luther said, "For it is the righteousness of God by which we are justified and saved through Jesus Christ." Paul's great desire was to make known God's power to save all the believers. And so he was zealous in doing his work. It was given to him to do that. And that experience of the transforming power of the righteousness of God in his own life, and used that to bring others into the same relationship with Christ. And we can have that if we will use that power in a relationship in the righteousness of Christ. We can bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. His experience for zeal for saving others can be ours. The gospel is still the same power that Paul used in his day. And to secure God's kingdom and his righteousness should be the only object of life for each and every one of us. So we just pray that we can truly do what God wants us to do. And to have that power that God had of the righteousness of God. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And we pray that through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may help overcome the world, that we may be your disciples with the surety of eternal life, that one day we will be with our Savior for eternity. So we pray for the righteousness that is a gift, so that eternal life, which is the reward of the righteous, is a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his precious name, amen.